You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
And we are now moving into chapter 12. If you will, take a Bible and open up to chapter 12. And if you need a Bible, we're happy to give you one. Just raise your hand high. The ushers will bring you one. And now we are moving into a brand new series on spiritual gifts. And I have been looking forward to this. I'm really been looking forward to this section of Scripture. For the next few weeks, we will be there. And looking at the spiritual gifts that God has for us. And it's important that we do because there's a lot of confusion in the church about spiritual gifts. A lot of uncertainty. A lot of misguided ideas and misconceptions about spiritual gifts. And there's also a lot of misuse of spiritual gifts. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have seen a church or been in a church where there was a misuse of spiritual gifts? You thought things just looked crazy and out of hand. All right, a bunch of you. How many of you have no idea what spiritual gifts are or what your spiritual gift is? If someone asked you right now, what's your spiritual gift, you wouldn't know. All right, how many of you feel like you're not sure and you have some areas where you would like to grow in spiritual gifts, but you're not sure how to get there? And I bring all these things out because there's craziness in the church about spiritual gifts. And there's people on both sides of the fence. And we see some who are ignoring spiritual gifts, some who are misusing spiritual gifts, and there's confusion. And this misuse of spiritual gifts has really left a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of people. Even unbelievers who maybe they turn on the TV and they see some wacky things that are supposed to be spiritual gifts, misuse of those gifts. They see some wacky things going on and they go, Christianity is ridiculous. Maybe they went into a church and they, maybe even well-meaning Christians who were part of something like that and then hurt or damaged or injured because there was just crazy stuff going on. And so an important subject, and it's important that we have right understanding of what God designed when he designed spiritual gifts. He endowed the church with spiritual gifts for a purpose. And it's important that we understand what that purpose is so that we can fully be functioning as a church as God intended. The next few weeks, we're going to be answering a lot of important questions about spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? How many gifts are there? Questions like, does every believer have a gift? And the answer, yes, every believer has a spiritual gift. How can a person know which gifts they have? How important are they to the individual Christian life? Hey, does your spiritual gift make a difference in the way you live? Absolutely. How important are they to the life and the health of the church? Well, very important. We're going to look at that. How can spiritual gifts be counterfeited? Absolutely. A lot of fraudulent things out there in the name of Christianity going on in spiritual gifts. We're going to look at that, how to tell the counterfeit gifts. How can a believer discern the true gifts from the counterfeit? Very important tools that we need to make sure that we have under our belt. So a lot of important questions that we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks. We're not going to tackle it all today, but over the next probably 4 weeks, we'll be looking at spiritual gifts to get a real good understanding of what spiritual gifts are. And let me just say on the onset, spiritual gifts are endowments by God. They are strengths and talents and abilities given to us by God for a specific purpose, for the purpose of serving each other and building each other up, supernatural abilities that God gives to the church so the church can fulfill its mission. Its mission? Yeah, the Great Commission to go out into all the world, making disciples of men, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, even to the ends of the earth. And spiritual gifts are for that very purpose, for being equipped, being empowered, being enabled to do the work that God has called us to do. And church, I am so excited because I want us to be a church who is aware of the spiritual gifts, appreciating the spiritual gifts, experiencing them being lived out in our own lives. And when that happens, boy, our church is going to be on fire. Our church is going to be doing the exact work of God that God wants us to do. And it's an exciting work. I want you to know every member of the church has spiritual gifts. There is quite a list of spiritual gifts. Let me show them to you in Romans 12. I'm not expecting you to understand all these or write them all down. We're going to cover them in the weeks to come. But I just want you to see how comprehensive the list is. In Romans 12, it talks about the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, encouraging, the gift of leadership, the gift of giving, the gift of prophecy, the gift of mercy, and just incredible gifts. In Corinthians 12, look at that huge list. A word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healings and miracles and prophecy and distinguishing between spirits, the gift of tongues. We'll spend a lot of time talking about that when we get into chapter 14. The gift of interpretation of tongues, two different gifts. And I think you're going to be quite surprised at what those two gifts are. Probably not what you think. As we move into chapter 14, we'll look at that. The gifts of apostle, prophet, teacher, the gift of helps, the gift of administration. In Ephesians, it adds some of these gifts, and it also adds the gift of evangelist, the gift of pastor, the gift of teacher. And may I say something to you? This list, as comprehensive as it is, you know what it is? It's only a small section of the spiritual gifts. We don't believe that the Bible gives us a complete list of the spiritual gifts because the Spirit has so much gifting that He wants to bring into our life. That the Bible doesn't even have a full list. If it did, it would say, here's all the gifts. But it's how the Spirit wants to move in your life or in the church at any given moment. There's tons of gifting that the Lord has. Inexhaustible are His gifts. And so lots of things that we need to understand and grab hold of if we are fully going to walk in and live out and carry out the spiritual work that God wants us to do through His Spirit. And I tell you, when God begins to reveal your spiritual gifts to you, when you begin to understand your spiritual gifts, I want you to know this right now. Every believer has a spiritual gift. And when you begin to experience and understand how God wants to use you, life just gets amazing. Life gets full of purpose. And there is something amazing to be walking through life in faith and have God's Spirit be using you in a way that you just know is beyond your ability. You will just be strengthened in your faith and in your understanding and your joy of serving the Lord when that happens. So really important, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all that God is going to do as we study the Word and what the Bible has to say about spiritual gifts. In general, I want you to know this. They are God's supernatural provision to edify the church, to evangelize the church, so the church can do the work of evangelism to reach out into the world and to equip the church, to unify the church, and to strengthen the church to have it be the bride of Christ that He wants it to be. And we need spiritual gifts for that work. There is no way we can do it on our own. Spiritual gifts are the means through which believers grow, worship, witness, and serve Jesus Christ. And so with that, let's jump into the text and let's see what Paul has to say. Chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1. Bible's open. Are you there? Say amen if you're there. Amen. Let's jump in. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Yeah, think about all the foolish ways you were carried away before you came to Christ. All the different pursuits that you chased. All the different things you went after. Oh, golf was everything. Or I had a ski boat, and my ski boat was everything. Or making money was everything. Yeah, you were led away by all these dumb idols, all these mute idols, all these things that had no life in them, and that's how you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's a little confusing. We'll come back and look at that in just a minute. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Well, let's unpack this a little bit, because that's like a zip file, man, just ready to unpack, and wow, there's a lot of stuff there. A very pregnant passage for sure, those seven verses. The first thing Paul tells us, number one, right off the bat, here's what I want you to know, church. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be in the dark. Or in other words, I want you to be wise about spiritual gifts. God wants us to understand. God wants us to know. God wants us to be fully equipped, fully prepared, fully understanding all that He has for us with spiritual gifts. And there is no place of where there is more confusion than when it comes to spiritual gifts. And Paul writing right out of the bat, first thing I want you to know, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. I want you to be wise. The word he uses in Greek is agnoeo. And it's where we get our word agnostic. Or just like it's translated, ignorance. It means to be without understanding, without an opinion on, without knowledge of. And Paul says, I don't want you to be agnostic about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be indifferent about spiritual gifts. As a matter of fact, God wants you to be passionate about spiritual gifts. There's only one thing in the Bible that you're allowed to covet. You know what it is? Spiritual gifts. That God would use you. That you say, God, Lord, gift me. I want you to empower me. I want to be a servant of you, Lord. Yeah, that's okay to covet, the Bible says. And we want to be well-informed about spiritual gift. Paul says, listen, Corinthian church, I want you to know about gifts. You see, the church in Corinth, they had spiritual gifts, but they were really confused. We saw how they were using their gifts at the communion table. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. And we saw how the order of their church service, yeah, it was disorderly. Talking over each other, standing up here, saying, and we're going to look more of that in the weeks to come. But it's a disorderly service. They were speaking in tongues, and it was just chaos in the church. And Paul says, we have some things. There is obviously a real big ignorance about spiritual gifts, and it shouldn't be that way. Ignorance allows counterfeit gifts to enter in, things that aren't even from God to enter into the church, and it's dangerous. Paul says, I want you to be well informed. I want you to know Jesus' purpose in gifting you as a church. I want you to appreciate the value of your spiritual gift, not only your spiritual gift, but I want you to appreciate the value of others' spiritual gifts as well. I want you to exercise your gifts, and I want you to be able to know how to discern between true gifts and false gifts. There are some in the church who say, well, I'm uncertain about spiritual gifts, so I just don't go there. It's really not a big deal. I still believe in Jesus. I just, you know, I don't really pay much attention to spiritual gifts. May I say something to you? If that describes you, that's messed up. That's messed up. If you aren't fully in tune with what your spiritual gifts are, if you don't find yourself using your spiritual gift on a regular basis, can I just say, that's messed up? And if I'm speaking to you this morning and you're unsure, boy, I want you to really open up your ears, open up your heart to what the Spirit would speak to you this morning. Because it is through your spiritual gifts that you are going to be utilized by God to be a builder in His church, to be led into service, and to experience the abundant life that He wants you to experience. That requires spiritual gifts. How are you going to serve effectively if you are not walking in the power and the wisdom and the understanding of all that God wants to gift you in? It's just impossible. Jesus, when He resurrected, during that 40-day time when He was, you know, on the earth after His resurrection, He told the disciples, before you start ministry, what did He tell them to do? to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't start serving me yet. Don't go out and start doing the work yet. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be able to go do incredible things in my name. And so what happened? He tells them, before you start serving me, wait. And so they did. And in Acts chapter 2, oh, we know what happened. The Holy Spirit came just as Jesus promised that it would. He came, the Holy Spirit came, and he endowed the church with gifts. And it was incredible. People started speaking in tongues. People started being energized to do the work of the ministry. But you know what else happened when this endowment came on the church? There were others who were watching, and they started mocking. And they started saying, this is ridiculous. These guys are drunk. This is crazy. And do you remember what Peter did? Peter, receiving a gift of the Holy Spirit, he was offended. He couldn't believe that people were mocking this work of the Spirit that God was doing. And Peter stands up, and for the first time ever, Peter opens his mouth, and good things come out. It was the first time ever. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon him and gifted him with the gift of teaching. And Peter, even though he doesn't even know he has a gift yet, he just stands up and he says, men and brethren, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. But this was what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he goes on and he gives a biblical basis for this phenomenon that's happening right here. And he begins to preach a sermon. And it's a good sermon out of Peter's mouth. And Peter finishes and people are cut to the heart. And they go, what then should we do? And I think nobody is more surprised than Peter. And he goes, might as well just tell them what Jesus said. Repent and get baptized. Repent for the remission of sin. And they did. And what happened? 3,000 were added to the church that day. Do you know what that is? That is a move of the Spirit. Through a man who had no ability on his own, but made himself available to God, waited for that gift to come upon his life, and opened his mouth in faith, and great things happen. If you are ignorant about your spiritual gifts this morning, I would like to ask you to stop and consider, what if Peter would have not opened his mouth? Well, I don't think it really matters if I serve God with my spiritual gifts. Really? What if Peter would have said nothing? What if Peter would have said, you know, I'm kind of ignorant about spiritual gifts. I come to church, I go to church, I don't really do anything. You know, sometimes I do feel stirred, but I just keep silent and then it goes away. Yeah, what would have happened if Peter took that spot? That approach would have been quite tragic for the 3,000 who got saved. That approach would have been quite tragic for the overall health of the church. That approach would have been quite tragic for Peter himself. You think Peter had some joy after he used that gift and 3,000 guys? You think Peter said, wow, God, can't believe what you're doing. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. That's what spiritual gifts do. And it's amazing. Paul says, listen, don't be ignorant. Don't be agnoeo. Don't be an ignorant fool about spiritual gifts. Paul says, I want you to know about them. Why is it then, if Paul says, don't be ignorant, why is it then that so many in church today have no idea what their spiritual gifts are? Why is it that some have been Christians for years and yet they're not walking and using their spiritual gifts? No wonder that there are so many wondering, why am I so dry in my faith? How come I go to church but I don't ever experience God really? Well, maybe it's you're not using the gifts God's given you. And I just want to encourage you, man, be praying over the next few weeks. Lord, show me my spiritual gifts. Help me stir up my gifts. Help me to know what they are so I can walk in them. And once you start understanding what they are, here's what I want you to do. I want you to step out in faith and begin experiencing. I guarantee you, Peter was nervous when he stepped out, but he was stirred and he knew that God was calling him for that very thing. Hey, God has gifted you, church. I want you to know this. God has gifted you. If you're taking notes, I want you to write it down right now. God has gifted me. How has he gifted you? Do you know what it is? And are you walking it out in faith? There is purpose. You are to be a builder of God's kingdom, and God wants to use you. Now, as I mentioned, as Paul said, there's ignorance on spiritual gifts. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. On one end of the camp, there's the cessationist, like ceasing, cessationist. You know what the cessationists teach? Cessationists teach that the spiritual gifts, at least the sign gifts, have stopped for today. They're not in purpose anymore. And that's messed up. We believe in all the gifts of the Spirit that are fully operational. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. And the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. So on one hand, we have ignorance on spiritual gifts from the cessationists. They say, no, the spiritual gifts aren't real anymore. On the other hand, we have the hyper-charismatic side or the Pentecostal side. And they're just foolish about spiritual gifts. And there's ignorance on both sides. We don't want to be that way. I tell you what, the hyper-spiritual, they're a lot like the Corinthians were. It was all about spiritual gifts and show and flash and to show you're spiritual, you got to have a spirit. Can I say something? Having a spiritual gift that is a public spiritual gift doesn't make you any more spiritual than a person who has a spiritual gift just being in the prayer closet and praying. And in there's a misconception about spiritual gifts that you're more spiritual if you have... No, it doesn't make you more spiritual. Peter wasn't any more spiritual before or after he preached that sermon. It is your relationship with Jesus Christ that makes us right with God, not our spiritual gifts. And some churches, they go hyper on spiritual gifts. And they say, oh, you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Really? That's messed up. And so we want to find a nice balance. It's not all just about focusing on spiritual gifts. And some churches, they focus so much on it that they forget about the important things of loving each other, of serving each other, of building each other up, of caring and ministering to each other. No, for them, it's all watch me speak in tongues. Watch me stir the crowd. Watch me rile emotions. Watch me. And man, I just want to say that's messed up. And we want to beware of counterfeit spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts can be counterfeited. Beware of counterfeit spiritual gifts. If you go into a church and they're trying to stir you up and it's trying to, that could be a counterfeit place. It may not be real. Be careful. And we want to have eyes open. I tell you, you walk into some churches and it feels like you have to check your brains at the door so that you can be part of what's going on. That's a dangerous sign. Worshiping God should be very intelligent and very logical. And I wonder at these churches where there's so much emphasis on speaking in tongues or falling over backwards or shaking and quaking or doing whatever it is they do. I wonder, do they ever ask themselves, am I really being used by God to strengthen other people? Am I really building anyone? Am I really helping anyone? Am I really growing anyone? Am I really equipping anyone? Am I really making anybody's marriage better? Are people becoming better dads, better moms, better bosses, better employees because of this? Or is it all just a flash in the pan? You know, I want you to know something, church. You see these guys like Benny Hinn on TV, and he's hitting people on the head, and they're falling over backwards, and he waves his jacket, and whole rows of people fall over. Do you think that's real? Or do you think that's fanciful? Does anybody become a better person because we wave the jacket? Or is that just flash? I tell you, it's a counterfeit spiritual gift. And we need to be careful. Why do people like that kind of thing? Why do people go in thousands to go see that kind of stuff? Why? Because they don't believe in God? No, because they believe in God, but they want to see God move in the flesh. They want to see God move in their own way. And I want to just challenge you, church, be careful. Be careful. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after signs. Don't be a sign seeker. Don't go seeking after signs. Wicked and adulterous. Yeah, that's not a faithful relationship with God. That's an adulterous relationship. That's not the true and living God you're seeking. That's a different God. And you're not being a faithful spouse to God, a bride of Christ. You're being an adulterous bride. And so we need to be careful. Paul reminds them of their propensity to err in selfishness and foolishness. Look at verse 2. Don't you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led? Don't you remember you used to worship? Dumb doesn't mean like ignorant. It means mute. Idols that couldn't speak, couldn't talk, couldn't see, couldn't move. And we all worship those kind of things. I used to like fast cars and motorcycles and materialism. Yeah, I worship mute idols. How about you? And I remember the foolishness I had before I came to Christ. And Paul is reminding the Corinthian church, hey, look, I see some foolish things going on in your life. Don't forget, it wasn't very long ago that you worshiped foolish things. Be wise on spiritual gifts. Be wise. I don't want you to be ignorant, he says. You used to worship foolish things however you were led. Yeah, you had big boats to show everybody how amazing you were. You had a big house to show how amazing you were. You had, you know, all the nice clothes and everything because you were just, you wanted to show everybody how amazing you were. You were all into materialism and whatever it is you pursued. And now, the problem in Corinth, now they were using spiritual gifts to make everybody think they were amazing. You used to use your big boat to think you're amazing. Now you speak in tongues to make everybody think you're amazing. And Paul says, listen, one is worse than, it's actually worse than the other. At least when you were unsaved, you had a reason, but now you should know better. And he says, be careful. Watch out. I don't want you to go after crazy things. So we want to find that balance. We don't want to be in the cessationist camp where we don't believe in spiritual gifts. But on the other hand, we don't want to be the hyper-spiritual camp where everything's about spiritual gifts and there's no wisdom, no discernment, no building. And we want to find that place right in the middle. And that's where I want our church to be, where the spiritual gifts are real. We're going to go into chapter 13 in the next couple of weeks, and he'll show us what real spiritual gifts manifest. And they manifest what, church? What's Corinthians 13 all about? Love. That's the fruit of all spiritual gifts. Love. And if it's not producing love, if it's not helping you love and strengthen others, then it's all for naught. The next thing he brings out, look at verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say that Jesus is Lord. It's only by the Holy Spirit that these things can happen. And right here in verse 3, Paul gives us a couple of tests that we can look at to know, to discern if spiritual gifts are genuine. Because there were a lot of fake, counterfeit spiritual gifts in Corinth. And he gives us two things that we can hold on to know if spiritual gifts are genuine. First one is this: do they glorify Jesus Christ? He says, nobody by a spiritual gift, nobody by the Holy Spirit will call Jesus accursed. Yeah, the Holy Spirit isn't going to put Jesus down. And on the positive side of that, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit isn't going to put Jesus down. Jesus said that's not going to be the way it works. Jesus made it very clear what the Holy Spirit would do in our life. I've got a few verses for you. If you're a note taker, you might want to write these down. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would glorify him. That's John 16, 14. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would reveal who he is. That's John 14, 21. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would remind us of Jesus' teachings. He would take the things that Jesus taught and bring them to our remembrance. That's John 14, 26. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth and guide us into what Jesus said and guide us into what Jesus did. That's John 16, 13. And in Corinth, and in some churches today as well, the focus becomes more on spiritual gifts. The focus becomes more on the Holy Spirit than on Jesus. And you'll hear the pastor's teaching or the leader's teaching, and it'll all be, you need the Spirit, and you just got to have the Spirit, and let the Spirit, and the Spirit, and the Spirit. Where is all the attention? Where is all the focus? On the Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit won't draw any attention to himself. You can tell a counterfeit teaching, you can tell counterfeit spiritual gifts if it draws all the attention to anything but what? Jesus. If all the attention is on the Holy Spirit, guess what it is? It's a counterfeit, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit won't even speak of himself. He'll draw all attention to me. John 16 on your screens. Let me hear you read this. Read with me, church. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. I want you to see what I highlighted there. He, the Holy Spirit, Jesus speaking of, he, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on his own authority. He's not going to bring attention to himself. Well, the Spirit says. No, it's not going to be that way. He's going to bring all attention to Jesus. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Let's go on. He will glorify me, Jesus speaking, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus speaking, notice what he says the Holy Spirit will do. He won't speak on his own authority. It won't be about him. He'll take the things that are mine and reveal them to you. And he's going to glorify Jesus. How can you know if a spiritual gift is real? Does it glorify Jesus? Does it reveal Jesus? Does it show the person of Jesus? Does it show the character of Jesus? Does it look like Jesus, how he ministered, how he did things? That's how you can know if it is a true spiritual gift. Secondly, not only does he say, does it glorify Jesus? Look what else he says. Does it reveal Jesus as Lord? In verse 3, it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you can't mouth the words, Jesus is Lord. Because anybody can say Jesus is Lord. An unbeliever can say Jesus is Lord. A demon can say Jesus is Lord. Anybody can say Jesus is Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, verse Matthew 7:21, put that on the screens, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Yeah, here we see for sure it's possible to say, Lord, Lord, call Jesus Lord, but not have it done by the Spirit. So what then does Paul mean when he says, and look what he says, verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What then does he mean if he doesn't mean say the words? Are your wheels turning? Here's what he's saying. There is no way that you can say Jesus is Lord of my life and have that be an accurate representation unless the Holy Spirit is working in your life. So here's the test on counterfeit spiritual gifts. Number one, do they glorify Jesus? Number two, do they reveal Jesus as Lord? Do their words reveal Jesus as Lord? Does your life reveal Jesus as Lord? Or is your spiritual gift drawing attention to Jesus or drawing attention to yourself? Is it revealing Jesus? Is it demonstrating his love, his character? Is it revealing how he moved? Is it showing him as Lord? Then it's a genuine spiritual gift. Don't be deceived just because people use the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of false teachers, a lot of false prophets who use the name Jesus. Oftentimes, they add extra syllables to Jesus' name. Jesus! I don't know why, it's just a common trait. Everything's about Jesus. And allow Jesus to come upon you. Crazy. Does any of that reveal the person of Jesus, or is that just hyper-spiritual? Beware of spiritual counterfeits. They're out there. Don't be deceived. The test is really simple. The test of if it's a true spiritual gift is twofold. Number one, does it glorify Jesus? Number two, does it reveal Jesus as Lord? And I tell you, when the church properly uses its spiritual gifts, the church will look like Jesus. It'll look like Jesus. You want to know if your spiritual gift is valid? Does it look like Jesus? Why? Because Jesus possessed all the spiritual gifts. In John 3, the Bible says that the Spirit came upon Jesus without measure. In other words, the entirety of all the spiritual gifts were upon Jesus. We receive the Spirit, Ephesians tells us, by measure. But upon Jesus, the Spirit came without measure. So if you ever wonder what a spiritual gift should look like, who should you look at? Look at Jesus. How did it work in Jesus' life? You have the gift of exhortation. Are you encouraging like Jesus did? There's a guy in the church who has such a good gift of exhortation. I love this man. And he had heart surgery this week. It's amazing the technology they have now. You know, they went in through the groin and went up, and they actually deadened parts of his heart because his heart was beating too fast. And instead of a pacemaker, they went up and did that. And I called him on the day he gets out of surgery to just check on him and make sure he was okay. And you know what happens when I call him? I get encouraged. Oh, David, you're such a good pastor. I appreciate this about you. And you really da-da-da. And I hang up the phone. I'm going, man, that was amazing. You know why? Because he has the gift of exhortation. But here's the question. How does it work? Well, do you encourage like Jesus did? Jesus said, a bruised reed and a smoking flax I will not quench. What does that mean? Yeah, you could be beat up and worn out and almost ready to die and smolder, and Jesus would come along and strengthen you. Do you encourage like Jesus? See, the gifts will always look like Jesus. You think you have a teaching gift. Awesome. I love it. We need great teachers in the church. Here's what it looks like. Do you teach like Jesus? When you teach, do people have a better understanding about God? Because that's what happened when Jesus taught. And you'll know your gift is working when people have a better understanding about God when you teach. Do you teach like Jesus? Do you have the gift of hospitality? Are you hospitable like Jesus? Do you realize that prostitutes and drunkards and party animals and sex animals, they all felt comfortable with Jesus? Why? Because he had a great hospitality. Everybody felt comfortable about coming up to him. Do you use your gift of hospitality? Does it look like Jesus? Hey, whatever gift you have, here's the question. Does it look like Jesus? Maybe you have the gift of leadership. Are you leading like Jesus? Maybe you have the gift of giving. Are you giving like Jesus? Look how Jesus gave. Oh, my gosh. Do you have the gift of mercy? Are you merciful like Jesus? Do you have the gift of prayer? Are you praying like Jesus? Whatever spiritual gift you have, here's the way you can check. Hey, is it looking like Jesus? Does it reveal Jesus? Spiritual gifts that are counterfeits, they always have these things in common. They have a low emphasis on Bible and a high emphasis on miraculous. They have a low emphasis on knowing Jesus and a high emphasis on experience. They have a low emphasis on revealing the person of Christ and a high emphasis on just going with the feeling. Dangerous. Dangerous, and we want to be careful there. Jesus, on the other hand, did just the opposite. He put a low emphasis on the miraculous and a high emphasis on revealing who God is. A low emphasis on the experience and a high emphasis on knowing God. Let me give you an example. Jesus was in a house and he was teaching. He had been teaching for a long time. There were so many people wanting to hear him teaching that you couldn't even get to the in the house. I mean, people were coming out the windows, coming out the doors. It was just packed to hear this profound teaching. He had been teaching for a long time. There was a paralytic who had four buddies. And they bring this guy. They'd probably been carrying him for miles. Four guys carrying their buddy. Their goal, get him in front of Jesus. They finally get to the place where Jesus is teaching, and it's packed out. You can't get in. And so they don't give up. What do? You know, you're a Bible smart church. What do? They climb up on the roof. I love that kind of persistence. Don't let anything stop you from getting to Jesus. A lot of times there'll be obstacles, sometimes inspired by God, just to see, do you really want this? Is this what you really want? I want to bless you. Do you really want it? Or are you just going through the motions? No, I really want it. When you really want it, you'll overcome the obstacles. Sometimes because there's just obstacles in life. Don't let anything stop you from coming to Jesus. they persevere, they climb up on the roof, and they start lowering this guy. I mean, can you imagine how much, all the gyrations these guys had to go through to get this guy there? And I can almost see that bed coming down, you know? It's probably like, whoa, 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 up, up, up! You know, and he's all probably almost falling off. And he brings him down, and they lower him down right where Jesus is teaching. And I imagine Jesus probably smiled, you know, interrupted his whole message. And what does Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven to the guy being lowered down. Now, that's really important, but how do you think that made the guy feel? You're paralyzed. You've been paralyzed your whole life. What are you hoping Jesus does? Heal me! What does Jesus tell you? Your sins are forgiven. Now, in the grand scheme of things, way more important, but for the moment. But Jesus knew what he was doing. And everybody in the room was offended when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And all the smart religious people, all the religious leaders said, hey, only God can forgive sin. Ding, 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 ding. That's why Jesus said it, so that he would reveal more of himself to them. He wanted them to know that he was God. And so he looked at them and he said, what is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Hey, anybody can say your sins are forgiven. I can sit here and say, hey, your sins are forgiven. But here's what Jesus said. That you might know that I have the power to forgive sins, I say this, rise up and walk. And the guy gets up for the first time in his life and starts walking and rejoicing. My point, where was the emphasis? On the miracle or on revealing who God is? The only reason Jesus did the miracle was to reveal more about God. There's signs that accompany true teaching. They're not signs that we run after. For the sign's sake, for the experience sake, and that's how you can tell. Does it glorify Jesus Christ? Does it reveal? Let there be a high emphasis on knowing God and a low emphasis on the miraculous and the experiential. Because here's what will happen. When you put the high emphasis on knowing God, the miraculous will be the byproduct. It will always come. And it's just how God works. So it's important. We can discern if spiritual gifts are real. Do they glorify Jesus? Do they reveal Jesus as Lord? The next thing he brings us on to is to this incredible diversity of gifts that there are. An incredible diversity. Do you realize God is a very diverse creator? Don't you look at creation and just marvel? I mean, there's so many different things. Plant life insects and mammals and marine animals and clouds and just an incredible designer, very diverse in his gifting. Look at this. Look at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, just an incredible amount of gifts, but it's all the same what? Spirit. There are diversities of ministries. Yeah, tons of ways you can serve, but it's the same what? Lord. There's diversities of activities, tons of activities, but it's the same God. Notice what we see there. Spirit, Lord, and God. The Trinity, all working in the giving of spiritual gifts. All working in unity. And here he talks about incredible diversity of gifts. And there are so many diverse gifts. I want you to know, the church should be great in diversity. We should have giftings in a ton of different ways. We're watching right now, just in this little project for Kimber's house. There's some who come over, and oh yeah, I can paint. Hey, there's some who come over, hey, I can't paint, but you know what I can do? I can pray with you. There's others who come over and say, I can fix the floor. There's others who come over and say, I can give to this project. There's others who come and they put the baseboards in. There's others who come and they say, I can watch the kids. You know what it is? A diversity of gifts all coming together for the glory of God. Why? Because God is a diverse creator. Do you realize how diverse he is? I marvel at his creation. Do you realize the sun? How hot is the sun? 29 million degrees Fahrenheit at the core. 29 million degrees. Can you even fathom such a temperature? And yet the moon, cold as can be, negative 378 degrees. How's that for diversity? One little body up there, 29 million. One little body up there, negative 378. Who made them all? The diversity of God. I marvel at the diversity of God. I was reading an article yesterday about a bar-tailed godwit. Now you're going to know what a geek I am. That's this bird right here. This bird, it looks like just a little regular bird, right? Just a common shorebird. Do you know how amazing this bird is? This bird flies from Alaska. It summers in Alaska, and in about September, it leaves Alaska, and it flies to New Zealand nonstop, stopping for food, not stopping for drink, over 7,100 miles from Alaska to New Zealand, and it makes the trip in 7 days without stopping flying once. That'd be like us sprinting for 7 days without stopping. Just incredible. And it goes from Alaska to New Zealand. It does it in September, and then it flies back in March. Just incredible. You want to see how far this is? Put that next picture up there. Just in case you don't know how far 7,000 miles is, Alaska on the top of the globe right there, New Zealand all the way down by Australia, look how far that is. That's how that foolish bird goes. Just incredible. And a snail, how far does it go in its lifetime? Not very far. You know what I learned about snails yesterday? A snail can bury itself in the ground, seal its little snail shell up with its own slime, and live for 3 years, not moving an inch. This bird moves 7,200 miles twice a year. The snail doesn't move at all for 3 years. How's that for diversity? Now, if God is this diverse in creation, what's my point? Why are we talking about snails and birds? Just so you can get your National Geographic fix this morning? Why are we talking about these things? I want to show the diversity of God because that same diversity is in what? Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Some of you are going to have gifts that look like this way over here, and others are you going to have gifts that look like this way over here. And you know what happens? We need to appreciate each other's gifts. Because if your gift is of helps and of service, and you're in here and you're setting up chairs and you're doing all this work and you're sweating, hey, that's your gift. It's a good gift. Awesome. Go for it. But you look around, and there's Jim Dozell in the back corner, and he's praying. Why isn't he setting up chairs? Oh, man, Jim, lazy guy. Oh, he's getting under my skin. No. Different gifts. Better appreciate the gifts. Gene Natek, he's a prayer warrior in this church. Man, I so admire him. Different gifts. Maybe you have the gift of teaching. And someone else has the gift of evangelism. And you get the two together, and you're like, well, man, I'm sick of that. Like, quit teaching so much, man. Let's get out there and tell people about Jesus. Hey, easy, big guy. Both gifts are important. Because if you don't know what the Bible says, guess what's going to happen when you go out there and you try to tell people about Jesus? And you better appreciate the gifts that your brother has. Because they all work together for a common good. Super important. So many gifts. And the differences of the gifts are just amazing. Look at verse 8. Look at some of these gifts. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. You know what the word of wisdom is? The word of wisdom is the ability to speak just profound truth into someone's life. Oh my gosh, I just looked at the clock. We're out of time. I've got so much more to tell you. We'll wrap up. The word of wisdom. You know what the word of wisdom is? The ability to speak profound truths into someone's life. I remember when I was a young Christian, I felt the call of God on my life to be a pastor. I thought it was ridiculous. I knew nothing. I was just barely saved. And I thought, how could this be? I have a calling on my life to be a pastor? Yeah, that's how God works. He gives us gifts. I needed to grow in. I needed to be equipped. So I went and I talked to a to Ray Bentley, and he took me in under his wing. Ray Bentley is the pastor of Maranatha Chapel, was the largest church in San Diego at the time, an incredible Bible teacher. So blessed to be under him. And he took me under his wing. And I remember I was talking to him one day, and I said, "Hey, Ray, I need some help. How did you know that God called you to be a pastor?" And he spoke a word of wisdom to me. And it just resonated through me. I knew it was from God. It was the word of wisdom. You know what his answer was? "Ray, how did you know? You got this big church. You're an amazing Bible. How did you know God called you to be a pastor?" Here was his answer. I still remember it to this day. Two words, his answer. "By faith." Can't you give me a lightning bolt instead? It'd be so much easier. "By faith." That was a word of wisdom. And look what he says. "To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a word of knowledge through the same Spirit." The same Spirit doing both gifts. What's a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge is different than a word of wisdom. What's a word of knowledge? What kind of gift is that? That's the ability to speak, to know something, just a profound truth about someone that can really help them out. I've experienced this gift sometimes in counseling. I'll be sitting there and I'll be talking with someone, and man, the Lord just put some things on. There's no way I could know that on my own. It's just like a word of knowledge. It just came into my head. You want to see what it looks like? Look at Jesus. He's with the woman at the well, and he's trying to minister to her. He's trying to bring her eternal life. He's trying to bring her living water, and she's just not getting it. And he's bringing her to truth, and it's going in one ear and out the other. She's not understanding. She has no idea this is God in the flesh talking to her. She thinks it's just a regular dude. And Jesus continues to try to reach her and try to reach her, and he's just not getting there. And he finally comes to a point, and he says, "Hey, why don't you go and call your husband?" And she says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "You speak truth. You don't have a husband. For you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." Do you know what that was? That was a word of knowledge. And she goes, "Oh my gosh, how do you know me?" Yeah, that was a word of knowledge from the Spirit revealed to Jesus. And it changed this woman's life. Look what he says. "One is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit." It's all by the same Spirit, all from the same God. Very different gifts. There's a gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy, proclaiming God's word. We'll look more about these in the weeks to come. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, the different kind of tongues. We are going to camp out on this one a lot because there's so much confusion in it. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Yeah, it's the same Spirit working so diversely through all these different gifts. And he's distributing to each one individually. And I want you to circle 2 things here. As he what? As I will. Is that what it says? No. It's as he wills. "Well, I really want this gift." It doesn't matter what you want. It's as he wills. And he is the distributor of the gifts. What I want you to see before that, 2 things I want you to circle. Number 1, as he wills. The other one, distributing to each one individually. You have a spiritual gift. Each one has a spiritual gift. And it's important that we use it, that we embrace it. So we see some things about the spiritual gifts that we want to hold on to. There's diversity in the gifts. There's unity in the gifts. There's diversity with unity. The Holy Spirit giving to each one individually. Why? So the whole church can work together for the glory of God. Some of you are going to teach like Jesus. Some of you are going to serve like Jesus. Some of you are going to pray like Jesus. Some of you are going to show hospitality like Jesus. Some of you are going to have compassion like Jesus. And it's all going to come together for the glory of God, for the unity in the church. And we must value and appreciate each other's gifts. It's for the profit of all, so that the whole church can be blessed. We'll wrap up here and we'll pick up the rest next week. We'll pick up where we left off. I'm sorry we didn't get all the way through, kind of an abrupt ending, but there's a lot there and more to come. So read ahead, and we'll experience all that God has for us in that. Amen?
You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.